Well, if you got your Bible, you got your device, let's hold it up and let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. And my heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God a shout of victory tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did y'all enjoy last Wednesday night? Man, I tell you that. I love doing it. When we can't be here, I love being here on video. I mean, what an anointing. I think there's more of anointing when I'm not here than when I'm here. I think I'll stay away longer because, man, that was anointed. We're talking about the faithfulness of God. And, you know, tonight I want to talk to you about how to trust God in difficult seasons of our life. And we all go through difficult seasons of our life, right? We talked about it last Wednesday night. We all have the opposites, right? That we all have those good days and bad days, up days and down days. It's life because we live in a broken world. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how do you trust God? You know, I've had a lot of people ask me that over 37, 38 years of ministry. I've had a lot of people, Pastor, just, I know we're supposed to trust God, but how do you trust God? Simply, how do you do that? You know, I'll never forget, it was about 37 years ago, 38 years ago, Kim and I, we got out of college and we went to our very first church to pastor. It was a denominational church. It was in northern Missouri, and there were 50 members. The church was 30 years plus old. It really, I was older than that, and it had been around for a long time, and Kim and I went there to pastor, and that was our very first pastorate. It was a denominational church. It was a great church, great people. 1980, I guess that's when it was. So it would have been, what, 37 years ago? Thank you. Wow, you're worth waiting for. Praise God, 37 years ago. And it was awesome. We loved the people, you know, it was great. And we started a bus ministry, and we started a ministry called Royal Rangers. Oh, I love that. That's like Cub Scouts, you know, Boy Scouts. But it's spiritual. It's awesome. We started all these ministries. The church began to grow, and it outgrew, and we built a new building, relocated. They never had a staff in all those years, and we started bringing staff on board and raising up leaders in a leadership pipeline. We did all that, and then, you know, after about a year, we were there about a year and a half, I guess, about 18 months, and one Saturday, in comes the bus driver over the bus ministry that told me he was called to do it. And he just walks in one Saturday morning in my office at church, and he throws the keys down to the buses, and he said, I quit. And I said, why? He said, I'm just tired of doing it. He goes, I just don't want to do it anymore. I quit and walked out. Now, I'm not exaggerating, okay? And within a couple of weeks, then the Royal Ranger leader, now this is our first pastorate. We're right out of Bible college. The Royal Ranger leader came to my office, knocked on the door, came in, said, I quit. I'm thinking, do I got B.O. or... what is the problem? You know, everybody seems to be quitting. And seriously, three or four of our major leaders quit, left the church, got upset over something, and we'd never been there before. We're young. We're right out of Bible college. It's our first church. And all of a sudden, there were rumblings, and people didn't like the music. And we tried to stop the hymnals. Oh, my goodness. Don't touch the hymnals, okay? We tried to put up projectors. Does anybody remember over... head projectors. We never got it done. We couldn't get it done. We tried to get the vote through. They just, praise God. And so, you know, there's just a lot of things going on. I got discouraged and I got depressed because it was a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. So I said, Kim, let's go back to our home church and let's talk to the pastor. He was our pastor. He's in heaven today. He's graduated. But I said, let's go back. I got to talk to him. So we drove back to Iowa, our home church, and our home pastor, and I set up an appointment. It was a mega church at that time, 1,000 members in a town of 10,000 people. So he had a tithe of the whole town, and he was a presbyter in the denomination, and he was kind of famous in our circle of world of churches. And he was very wise and very successful. So I went into him, and he said, "Hey, Dave, how's it going?" I said, "Well, let me tell you how it's going. Now, this is our first church right out of Bible school. Everybody seems like it's quitting. All of a sudden, nobody likes us. Nobody loves us. Guess we'll go eat long ones, short ones, whatever, yucky ones." Okay, we were pouting, you know, we were feeling sorry for ourselves. So I just poured it out. I said, "You know, and he told me he was called to be the bus pastor. And he said, you know, I'm going to be with you and I'm behind you. We went out and bought buses and started the bus ministry. And he quit. And then I went to the Royal Ranger leader, and I went through that story, and I painted that story. And then I went to the next leader that quit, and then I went to the next leader that quit. And I went through all of that for about 30 minutes, and I was just hoping the pastor was just going to feel so sorry for me. And you know what he said? I got done. He said, "Are you finished?" And I said, "Yeah." Now remember, this is 1980. And I said, "Yeah." And here's what he said to me. He only said this: "Dave Blunt, you don't trust God. Let's go." And he got up from his desk, went to his door, opened it up, and walked me out of his office. And that's all he said. "Dave Blunt," but I never forgot it, did I? So now I'm going to talk to you about how to trust God in difficult times. He said, "Dave Blunt, you don't trust God. You say you trust God. You say you have faith and confidence in God's faithfulness, but you're whining and belly aching and worrying and upset and griping and anxious and stressed out. You don't trust God." Well, I have to be honest, right? I walked out of there mad as a wet hen. I didn't receive it well. I was offended. Don't look so holy on me now. I was offended, I was mad, I was upset. I got in the car and I griped about that pastor all the way back to Northern Missouri to Kim. She had to listen to it, bless her heart. I was so mad. But then after I got back, and you know what, things kind of settled down, I kind of got quiet before the Lord, guess what? He was right. I wasn't really trusting God. You see, one of the quickest ways you know if you're trusting God or not is if you're worrying. Because if you're worrying, you're not trusting God. If you're overwhelmed tonight, if you're anxious, if you're stressed out, if you can't sleep, if you're struggling with something in your past and you can't forgive and you can't forget and you made it a monument and you can't move forward, then you really don't trust God. If I'm worrying about how am I going to pay the bills, worrying about my kids graduating, worrying about my kids going off to college, worrying about finding the right mate, worrying about, you know, where I work, if I'm going to lose my job, if I'm doing all that, then I'm really not trusting God. So, Pastor, how do you trust God? Can I answer it real simple? You learn to trust God by looking at his faithfulness. By focusing on the faithfulness of God, number one. Number two, by feeding on the faithfulness of God. Number three, it will fuel you. It's like gas to a car. It's like fuel to an airplane. It will fuel you. It gets you moving forward when you think about the faithfulness of God. So that's how you learn to trust God, is by reflecting and remembering and meditating on and feeding and focusing on the faithfulness of God, or what? The character of God. See, we don't want to build our life on our circumstances because they change. We want to build our life on the character of God because it doesn't change. You and I want to be unshakable in a shakable world. So it must be a needed word right now in a world that's topsy-turvy, a world that's full of helter-skelter and everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And we're all having to learn because you grow in your trust. You know, when Kim and I were in Bible college, seriously, we had to trust God for every meal. I mean, you know, she worked, I worked, and we went to school full time. And we needed every dime that we made, and it was peanut butter sandwiches, and it was Totino's pizzas when they were on sale for 29 cents a pizza. Tells you how old I am, praise God. But we, you know, we had to learn, and today, guess what? Over 34 years, now we have to trust God seriously for millions of dollars. There's no way we could have done that back then. I just say that to say this, is that trusting God, you grow in that. You learn to trust God, right? Well, how do you do it? One way is by focusing and feeding on the faithfulness of God. When you look at the faithfulness of God, it gives you hope. When you look at the faithfulness of God, in fact, we looked at that, right? Let's begin with Lamentations. Can I get in the Word now as we set y'all up? Man, I'm about out of time already. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 17. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace, and I forget prosperity. So notice, he says, I've lost my peace. Focusing on the faithfulness of God will bring peace into your situation. I'm going to show you tonight. But notice that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he was called the weeping prophet. And he said, you know, I've lost all peace. He said, I'll never get out of debt. I'll never gain back what I used to have. Prosperity, no way. He stopped dreaming. And you know, you can't have a big life without big thoughts and a big purpose. Big thoughts and a big purpose is a must for a big life. Big thoughts and a big purpose is a must for a big life. Big thoughts and a big purpose is a must for a big life. And that's why we have our growth track on Sunday morning, seriously, at 11 o'clock, because we help people find a God who's for them and discover his purpose for their life in growth track 101 and 201 every Sunday morning. So he goes on to say, he gives the list. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, I said, my strength and my hope is what? Gone. I don't have the get up and go. I don't want to get up. I don't have the drive. I don't have the motivation. He said, I don't have any hope. Next verse, verse 19. Remembering mine affliction, my misery, and the wormwood and the gall. You know, he's remembering what? Not the faithfulness of God right now. He's remembering the hurt and the pain and the misery and all the things that he's gone through. And a lot of people, they tend to do that, right? Live in their past. Can't get beyond a hurt. Make it a monument and camp out the rest of their life there and live offended. So it goes on the next verse, and he says, my soul hath then still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21, then I recall to my mind. If I want things to change, it starts in my mind. If I want things to change, it starts in my mind. Nothing changes. I can't go to a new level without a new thought. I can't go to a new level without a new level of thinking. So he said, then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Next verse. Can we go on to the next verse? Or we don't have the next verse. Okay, praise God. All right, that's a good one right there. Praise God. I like Ecclesiastes, don't you? Hallelujah. But what I want you to see is when he recalled the faithfulness of God, his faithfulness is new every morning, right? And so when he began to look at the faithfulness of God, you can look at it in different translations. You look at the faithfulness of God, and what does it do? It gives you hope, gives you peace, gives you strength, right? It gives you drive, it gives you motivation, it stirs you up. In fact, you know, when you look at the faithfulness of God, what does it do? It helps you face the challenges of your life. A Bible story, you know it, David and Goliath. Remember David and Goliath? Remember when David went out to stand 17 years old before Goliath? What did he do? He remembered God's faithfulness. What are you wrestling with tonight? What giant is in front of you tonight? Your health, your children, your job, your career, your future, your past, your present, tomorrow morning? What's stalking you? What's harassing you? What's trying to hurt you? What's that giant? Fear? Depression? What's that giant? You know how you conquer that giant? You know you conquer worry and fear, anxiety, lack, depression? By remembering that God's faithful. He helped you with the lion. He helped you with the bear. What was David doing? He was reflecting. He was remembering. He was focusing on, feeding on, renewing his mind on the faithfulness of God in the past. So he says, because God, you were faithful in the past, I have the anointing, the strength, and the courage to get up and face my giant and conquer it. Oh, come on, somebody. Give the Lord a good praise. Come on, give him your best praise. Amen. I want you to go with me, if you would, to Psalm 92. Let's go to Psalm 92, or just look on the overheads. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there, guys. We're going to jump to that. It's talking about how in Psalm 92. They're with us. I know they are. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. And as it's coming up, it's there now. I want to give you the definition of trust. Are you ready for this little illustration? This is a dictionary. It's called the Noah Webster 1828 version. Jerry Savelle gave this to me as a gift. And I looked up the word trust in this 1828 Noah Webster. Boy, it's a big one, isn't it? Yeah. I had to get hit with this book, right? Wow. But look, I want to read to you the definition of trust. The definition of trust. And here it is. The definition of trust is the resting of the mind. This is Webster. I'm reading right here. Trust. Yeah, it says the resting of the mind. Well, that's the opposite of a restless mind. So if I'm really trusting in the Lord, then I'm not going to be restless. My mind won't be tormented. My mind won't be confused. My mind won't be wavering. My mind won't be full of doubt or unbelief. If I'm really trusting in the Lord, the word trust, to trust, means to have a rested mind. But now I'm going to finish the rest of it, okay? It's right here. A rested mind by looking at the character of a good person. So how does trust come? Pastor, I don't know how to trust God. You trust God. Trust comes by focusing on the character of God. So the more that we focus on the character that we're looking at in this 34-year celebration is the faithfulness of God. So by focusing tonight on the faithfulness of God before I go to bed, then what's going to happen is it's going to bring rest into your thought life. And that's where the war is. That's where the struggle and the fight is. The battlefield's in your mind. So to trust means to have a rested mind. So I can't trust God and worry at the same time. So how do I stop worrying and trust God more? By focusing on, feeding on the character and the nature of the Most High God. And in this series, we're highlighting his faithfulness. So growing in my faith in his faithfulness, I learned to trust him at another level, and my mind is at rest. Does that help any? Did I say clear enough? Wow. So say it with me. Trust means to have a rested mind by looking on the character of God. So look what he says. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. Next verse, verse 2. To show forth his loving kindness when? In the morning, that's his mercy. But every night, so you won't have nightmares. You know, I woke up this morning. Kim, if I'm lying, throw your Bible at me, okay? I woke up this morning. I said, Kim! I turned my Bible on, one-year Bible on like I do every morning. And getting ready to take a shower, I said, Kim, I had a dream last night. And I'm not a big dreamer because, you know, God just doesn't speak to me through dreams. He speaks to me because being a teacher through the Word, mostly. But I said, Kim, I had a dream last night. I really did. I woke up and she said, what was your dream? Honestly, didn't I? I said, I had a dream and I saw our church, a supernatural wave of healings. Of diseases and cases that the medical world says is unsolvable, didn't I? And I was running around there, praise God, praising the Lord, because I saw that, hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad that last night when I went to bed, knowing I'm going to teach on this, I better practice it. So I began to focus last night on the character of the faithfulness of God for 34 years. And what did it do? It brought rest to my mind. Because the last thing I did last night was not CNN or Fox. The last thing I did last night was I focused on the faithfulness of God once in a while. Every night. Every night. Every night. Every night. If I want a rested mind, it comes, trust is a rested mind. I'll never forget when we dedicated this building. Boy, I'm going over. Can I go over just a little? Oh my goodness. Is that when we dedicated this building, Joel and Victoria Osteen came and dedicated it. And after the service, we all had a meal together, the team and the Osteens and some dignitaries that were here with us, Bob Harrison and our board and other people, minister friends, and Paul Landry and stuff. And we were all there having, and I looked over at Joel. He's sitting next to me. He just, you know, his father had just passed away a couple of years before. And I looked over at Joel, and I said, Joel, I said, you know, how does it feel now? I said, you're pastoring Lakewood. I said, your dad's in heaven. I said, how does it feel? I mean, what are you feeling? And he looked at me and he said, this is what he said, Joel Osteen, no problem, Dave. He said, it's no problem, because he said, I just trust God. I never forgot that. So can I give you a takeaway? So every night before you go to bed, you need to say, God, I trust you with everything. Not some things, not my job, just my job and not my kids, not my kids and not my job, just my health and not my marriage. No, I trust you with everything. Can we practice? Let's say it on three. One, two, three. I trust you with everything. Oh, that's good. Can we do it again? I trust you with everything. One more time. I trust you with everything. Now, if we are really trusting him with everything, then we're not worrying about anything. Because he's got your life and the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world. Okay, praise God. All right. Hallelujah. All right, y'all see that there? Okay, praise God. Go with me to Psalm 35. Oh, no, don't go there. Go to Hebrews 11:11. Can we do this? We can do this. I'll hustle. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, can we read this on three? One, two, three. Notice that she was facing an impossibility. She'd been given a promise, but she laughed at it. Do you all remember? And she was given a promise, and she laughed at it. And God gave her a promise, but in her eyes, it was an impossibility. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible. They're for you and me. And in our sight, they may look impossible, but we got to stop looking at them through our sight. And so what happens is, notice that she received the power, the strength, the miracle, the transformation to get pregnant and have Isaac. All that changed, not when a preacher came to town, not when a conference, a seminar, no. When did that change? When did Sarah go from an impossibility to a possibility thinker? When did she go from not being able to get pregnant to getting pregnant at her age? The moment she judged God as faithful. The minute she got a revelation that God was a faithful God. Not just a sermon, not just a talk, not just a homily, not just a phrase, but she got it in her heart, past her head, in her heart. God, you are really, truly faithful. And when she realized and got a revelation that God was faithful, it triggered something. Something happened in her spirit. She was now able to believe what he said. She now could trust in what he said. And guess what? She got pregnant and had a baby. When did that happen? When she got a revelation of the faithfulness of God. Yeah. Psalm 37, as the team comes out. Psalm 37. I'm sure having fun. I hate to. Oh, praise the Lord. Psalm 37. And look at verse 3. What's the first word? What's trust mean? Arrested mind. How do you get it? By watching the news? No. Newspaper? No. Negative people? No. Current events? No. Now, how do you learn to trust God? How do you get a rested mind? By focusing on, feeding on the character of God. And by looking at His character and feeding on His faithfulness, you get a rested mind and you can trust God in anything, for anything, at any time. So He says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. But that's not enough. It's not enough. Pastor, I need a breakthrough, and I get it. I got to have a revelation of the faithfulness of God. And all month, between you and our guest speakers, you're pounding it in. Yeah? But you got to do something other than that. You got to do something good. Oh, this is good. It's not just enough to trust in Him, but you got to do something good. Do you know what that means? Do something God told you to do. This last week, we went to a taco. We were out in California, actually meeting with pastors, trying to become a better pastor for y'all. And slash having fun at the same time. And we went to this taco shop. And as we were getting out of our car, walk across the parking lot, whew, here came a big fire truck in. Now, that wasn't going anywhere. They were going there to eat. And it was a huge, it was one of those kind that has that, you know, cab in the front and the trailer's connected to it so the back end can sway all around. And man, they come barreling in there. They drove around us and parked. And we went in and they went in, I don't know, five or six of these firemen. And we're standing in front of them and we're getting ready to order our tacos and burritos, all that good stuff. And all of a sudden, someone on the inside of me said, pay for all their dinners, all the firemen, the whole crew. Now, who was that? That was God. The devil wouldn't tell you to do that. And what was that? Good. It's not enough. If you need a breakthrough, if you need a turnaround, that's why work days are good. That's why serving in the house of the Lord and in our community. And that when you hear God telling you to do something, and when you do it, that's good. It's not enough to say, I got faith, I trust God, I know He's faithful, Pastor, but I'm still not good. Have you done the good? What's the good? The last thing God told you to do. And so, you know, so I snuck up to the cashier and I said, she goes, oh, that's cool. So we step back over and make an order. And so they go up. And the first one goes up. And I see him pull out his credit card. And I walk over to him. And he looks at me and he smiles. And he says, you can't do that. I said, I can't do what? He said, I know what you're doing. You wanted to buy for the whole cruise dinner. But we can't let you do that. I said, I really want to do that. He said, no, we can't let you do that. And here's what he said to me. He looked at me right in my eyes, and he said, just the fact you wanted to made our day. That was good. Now, that's an illustration of it. Now, what's trust mean? To have a rested mind. How do you get trust or rested mind? How do you get there? By focusing on not the current events, not the news, not CNN, not Fox, not Rush, not all that other stuff out there, but by focusing on the character of God, in which we're talking about for 34 years, He's been faithful. Gives you hope, gives you courage, gives you strength, gives you direction. Oh my goodness. It helps you get through the good days and the bad days, because we're going to have the good days and the bad days. It rains on the just and the unjust. Yeah, what do? We look at His faithfulness. You see, the atheist looks at his circumstances, doesn't see God. A believer, we look at every circumstance and we see God. Because God may not have done it, but God is going to turn it if I trust Him around for our good. Somebody give the Lord a good praise. So, look at this. Trust, and what's trust mean? A rested mind. Trust, lean on, rely on, be confident in the Lord and do good. What's good? He's going to ask you to do something. And do good. And when you do what he tells you to do, a God-inspired idea, that's good. And do good, so what's going to happen? You will dwell, not visit. You will dwell in the land and feed on what? What have I been talking about all month long? Feed on the faithfulness of God. And what's going to happen? You will be fed. And that word fed there, it means contentment and satisfaction. Fed. It means contentment and satisfaction. Pastor, I've been waiting forever for this breakthrough, this new job, the right mate. I've been waiting forever for that raise. I've been waiting forever for things to change. Pastor, what should I do? I want to trust God. I want to wait. I want to stand. I want to believe. What should I do? Feed on his faithfulness while you're waiting. And he'll feed you with contentment and satisfaction. Contentment means you don't need anything to be happy. Contentment means you don't need anything to be happy. And when God satisfies us, it means that he has become the source of our satisfaction. You know, we took our grandkids to Disneyland, and I get up every morning, and when we were going to go to Disneyland one morning, I went to my grandkids. I said, guess what, guys? I said, what? I said, this is a happy day. They said, yeah, Peppa, we're going to Disneyland. This is a happy day. Oh, man, they're up there in the car. They're ready to go. It's a happy day. Then Thursday came. We're going to clean the house. You know, we're going to clean where we're staying. We're going to clean it up and do some work around. They got up. I said, hey, guys, guess what? What, Peppa? I said, this is a happy day. They didn't jump around quite as much that happy day. But they did. Eventually, yeah, it's a happy day. It's a happy day. What was I was trying to get them to be happy if they went to Disney or not. That's being fed. That when you feed on his faithfulness and you trust in him, you'll have a rested mind. Not a tormented mind. Not a deranged mind. Not a confused mind. Not a darkened mind. Not a depressed mind. Not a addicted mind. But a rested mind. And you got to have rest to enter to his best. So it works like this. We do our best tomorrow, and we give the rest to God. We do our best tomorrow, and we give the rest to God. Same bat channel, same bat time next Wednesday night. I'm out of time. Do y'all get something tonight? Give the Lord a good praise. Come on, let's worship the Lord.